because only you matters right now, God. I pray for every single one here from the left to the right, from the front to the back. We need to hear your word, oh God. We do not need to hear man's word, but we need to hear your word. So God, as a servant, I come before you. I ask, oh God, that you take your coal and touch my lips, and that I may decrease and that you will increase. And that the word that proceeds from this mouth, oh Lord God, may become the oracle of God to touch hearts of men and women. And I thank you, God, and I thank you, Spirit of God, that you are here. We bless you, we love you, and here we are, God, ready to listen to you. We agree to that. Let's say amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Alan. Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, the team. Today I want to share with you about God's heart for Click. God's heart for Click. Every time I talk about the heart of God, I'm reminded of a time just around 22 years ago. This year is going to be my 20th wedding anniversary. Yes, yeah. I made it. It's more like Sinkyu saying that she made it. She put up with me for more than 20 years now. So whenever I'm talking about the heart of God, right, and somehow God will bring me back to this cafe in Clayton. That time I was a university student. I liked my wife that time. Like all good uni students, when you like someone, you say, "Let's go and study together." You know, so girls, whenever you say guys saying to you, "Let's go study together," that might be a signal, all right? It might be, it might not, all right? And anyway, different generation, all right? This generation maybe is a bit different, but previous generation, we do things a bit differently. So I said, "Yeah, let's go to study in a cafe," you know? She said yes, so I felt like, that is an opportunity, you know? And as I were to, in a cafe, I remember we ordered coffees and, you know, Cake is important. I started to kind of bare my heart, you know. You know, whenever we bare our heart to someone, we are afraid that the person may say, no, that's right. The person may say no. And very often, you might get no, you know. And sometimes when we come to the Bible, and when the Lord himself bare his heart to us and explained through his word, his heart, I wonder what our Father would think in heaven. Of course, the Lord is a lot stronger than I am. He's infinitely stronger. But just in that context, I'm just thinking and praying that as the Lord show his heart to you today, would you receive it rather than reject it? Can I get an amen for that? Can I get an amen to that? Now, interestingly, in 1938 to 2023, so this is a Harvard decades-long research finding. So since 1938, a bunch of Harvard researchers, they asked this question: what makes us happy in life? What makes us happy in life? So they have done this for 85 years now. So they gather more than 700 applicants. They will go and research. Every 2 years, they go back to their lives. So they've done it for 85 years to ask that one singular question: what makes us happy in life? Any guess? You know, perhaps it's have a great and successful career. You know, some of the year 12 students might be thinking, a perfect ATAR would be pretty awesome. You know, perhaps some of you are thinking, you know what, I'd like to have a big family. And some of you may be thinking, you know what, if I have a couple of houses would be good. Some of you may be thinking, if I can have a house, that would be good. You know, so what makes us happy in life? So all the researchers, they have done the research, they talk to people, and this is what they found, interestingly. Any guess? Who wants to give it a guess? Oh, flow, yes. Connection, very good. I think you have read the same news article as me. Flo, welcome back. Welcome back to Click. You have to come more often. Amen. So the one thing they say is positive relationships, which is deep connections. Deep connection. It says positive relationships keep us happier, healthier, and help us live longer. Positive relationship means deep and meaningful relationship. It doesn't mean just scratching on the surface, your hi and bye, how are you? Very often when you ask how are you, even before the person answers the question, you ask a second question. So that's not kind of hi, bye friends we're talking about. It's a deep and meaningful relationships. So today when I want to talk about God's heart for CLIQ, I really want to talk about how the Lord wants us to grow in Him, to grow in maturity in Him, and to experience God in a powerful, powerful way. Now, what I'm about to share to you, these five things the Lord has laid in my heart to share with you, is that if we were to take these five things and put it into practice, you know what? The last song that we sang, "The Lord Bless You and Keep You," is a wonderful song. And that is the heart of God. The heart of God is to bless us. The Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, it said, "I've come to give you life and life to the full." However, there is one little caveat there. There's one little caveat there. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. You'll follow me. You'll follow me. And we're going to unpack a little bit more. So the Bible says in the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "And the Lord answered me, write down the vision." Write down what you're about to say. Write down the heart of God and make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. The first thing the Lord wants to bless you as you put that into practice in your life is that we are a God-loving church and that God wants you to be a God-loving person. Everyone say God-loving. 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 In Matthew 22, 37, it says, "And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." What is all? Everything. God didn't say, just love me a little bit. You know, when I was young, when I had little, my kids were little, right? I used to play with them. Obviously, I can't do that anymore. I used to ask them, "Tim, how much do you love Daddy? Little bit or a lot? Little bit or a lot?" The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. But if we were to be honest with ourselves, that is actually an impossible task to do. Because somewhere in the scriptures, I think it's Romans 3, 23, it says, "For all have fallen short of the glory of God." And if all have fallen short of the glory of God, simply means that if all have failed to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, how is this commandment possible? Now, I remember there's this song, Gen X song. Last week, we talked about different generation. So this is a Gen X song, Raquel. I don't think you will know that song. Anyways, it's in Cantonese. Leslie, you might know that song. It's actually by a singer. I think it's called Leslie Cheung. Cheung Hok Yao. The song is called Mui Tin O Le To Ya Se. Every day, I love you a little bit more. Yeah. And the idea is that the song is actually talking about every day, I'll love you a little bit more. You know what? That is the posture that we want to have with the Lord. We know that it's impossible for us to love Him with all His heart, soul, mind, and strength while we are on earth. We have the desire to do so. The Spirit of God will empower us to do so. But in reality, it's actually a little bit more at a time. I wonder if today I were to ask you, what is, from 0 to 10, what is how much you love God? 0 as in you totally do not know God. You do not want to have anything to do with God. 10 as in you are totally, totally sold out for God. I was wondering from 0 to 10, where would you be? Perhaps today you might be a 2. You might be thinking, yeah, I kind of know God, but something kind of happened in my life and I'm not quite sure if I can trust Him today. If that is you today, I want to ask you, can you love Him a little bit more today? To put your trust and your hope in Him. Today, perhaps you're number 7. You say, you know what? I'm ready to go for Jesus. You know. However, there's this tiny bit of my life that I'm quite unsure whether I should trust Him completely. Can I ask you to love Him a little bit more today? In Cantonese, we say, love you a little bit more every day. Would that be possible? gospel. No wonder in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, it says that so now faith, hope, and love abides. They remain. But what is the greatest? The greatest is love. So here's the question. How then do we know we love someone or something? Let's think about this. How do we know we love someone or something? There's this picture of a garden. Some of you by now, I enjoy gardening. I wish I could spend more time gardening. So in gardening, you have to mow the lawn. You know, you do mulching. You do feeding once in a while. You got to prune, you know. By the way, I'm leaving on Wednesday for around 10 days to Malaysia. Half of it is a pastor's conference. The other half I'm going to spend time, a bit my time with my parents. It's the first time my wife and I are away from children. And all the parents say, all the kids suddenly feel, my parents are horrible. You know, and this is the funny thing. I tell you what, as I was preparing to leave, do you know what I was thinking about? What's going to happen to my garden? Team Easy and Zach, of course, I think about you guys too. They're my three kids. I love them too, of course. Strangely enough, I was thinking, who is going to look after my peace lily? I was thinking who's going to look after, you know, that elephant ear plant that I have. That's like one of my favorite plants, you know. How about my petunia, you know? So I started to think about it. It starts to consume my mind. Do you know that when you love someone, you start to think about them a lot? When you love something, that kind of occupies your mind. In fact, the Bible says this. Where your heart is, wait, that's right. I think it's where your treasure is. It's the other way around. But you got the drift. How do you know if you love something or someone? Very, very easy. You just take a step back and start to think what you normally think about. All right. That's right. What you normally think about during the day is what you love. It's what you love. And today the Lord is saying to us, the heart of God is saying to us, would you love me more? A bit at a time. You know, perhaps some of you can from go 0 to 10, praise the Lord. But most of us, we take baby step. We take baby step. What is most precious to you? What occupies your mind? You know, in Matthew 6, 24, it says that no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. You know, we talk about we are a God-loving church. We are a God-loving people. And here, Jesus himself contrasts the two. He said, if you want to love me, you cannot love money. You cannot. Today, I feel like speaking Cantonese a lot. I normally don't do that. You cannot. You cannot two legs in, one leg in both boats. You can't do that. You can only have one boyfriend or one girlfriend, one wife or one husband. I mean, anyway, I don't have to explain much. And God is saying to us, and he used pretty strong language as well. He said you can either love one or love the other one a little bit. No, he says either love one or you hate the other. And then he further explains, he says that you can either devoted, everyone say devoted. Do you know what it means to be devoted? Dedicated. When the parents are dedicated to the children, guess what? Everything goes to them. Dad, I want this, yes. Dad, I want that, yes. By the way, don't do that to your children, yeah? Become very irresponsible. Certain things you can give, but not everything. You are devoted to the Lord. How then do we know we love God? We look at our bank account. Oh, it gets. Because where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. But here is the thing. Very often we talk about loving God, but today I want to talk to you about our motivation to love God. Let's read this together. I love this verse. 1 John 4, verse 19. Let's read this together. It says that we love because. All right, come on. We're going to do this one more time. We love because He first loved us. He first loved us. Sometimes I wonder if you are at number two or number three, is it because we have never truly experienced the love and the grace of God? Sometimes I wonder if we can't really love God, it's perhaps we have not really understood what it means to be loved by God. If today I want to ask you, so this is like the speedometer, all right? Maybe I should call it the levometer today, yeah? If I were to ask you today, when it comes to the love of God, where is your tank today? I know it's a bit of a feeling-based, a bit of subjective. This is not Harvard research. This is more you checking your heart. So today, if I ask you, you know, if I ask you, Josh or Roger or Brian, if today I'm going to ask you, in terms of your love tank, where are you at? Are you at the full or are you at the empty? Today, the word of God is that He wants to fill your heart with His love. And then when the Lord fills His love in your heart and out the overflow of His love, you then respond to love Him. Can I get an amen for that? It's no longer just a striving, it's no longer just a struggle, but as you receive from the Lord, as you think about what Christ has done for you, the price that He has paid for you on the cross, that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. And then when Kenny, when he is 16 and 17, when he was has this green hair, when he was smoking pot, when he was just do not know the Lord, yet Christ died for him. He loved him. Whenever I think about that, you know what? My heart is filled with God's love and I can't help but to love God. The before and after is very important. While we were still sinners, Christ died. Christ didn't love you when you were well behaved. You know, when I was in a university student, I remember many years ago, I was running a business. I was looking after a bunch of international students, 80 of them. I was running together with my wife then. We haven't had any kids. I remember there's one international student, he came up to me. She was very young, not very tactful. She came to me and then she asked me this question. He said, Kenny, I wasn't a pastor. He said, Kenny, yeah. I said, yes. Did your wife marry you because of your money? I was shocked. I've never seen anyone so blunt before in my life. So blunt. I'm like, I kind of lost for words. And then I thought back. You know, when my wife married me, I was broke. When I say I'm broke, I'm like flat broke. All right? I survived on, back in those days, $15 Indomie for the whole box. I survived on that. I remember my wife was doing research. She was earning more money than me. So I looked at her. I'm like, the reason why she said that is because my wife was, compared to me, she was thinking, how on earth this dude can marry? But anyway, the timeline is important. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let's love God a little bit more today. It then says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Love language always come with giving. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. If today you ever think about how much God loves me, you ever doubt the love of God, things may not be going smoothly in your life. Truth be told, there are more lows than highs. You live long enough, truth be told, there will be more lows than highs in life. But it's during the lows, I tell you what, you experience the grace, the love, and the peace, and the mercy of God like never before. The best time of my spiritual growth is the time when I'm suffering. It's when the time that I'm crying. It's when I'm all alone and no one understands me, and that's when I cry out to God. And then when God brings me through that valley, and then as I ascend to the mountain, I then give praise unto the Lord. Can I get an amen for that? Can I get an amen for that? The second thing the Lord wants us to mature in the heart of God for us is that we are a Christ-centered church. Everyone say Christ-centered. Christ-centered. We are Christ-centered church. In Colossians 1:18, it says, "And Christ is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything," everyone say everything, "that in everything he may be preeminent." He might be preeminent. The word preeminent simply means he reigns supreme. He reigns number one. Number satu. D-E. Number one. Absolutely. That he reigns number one in our lives. So we talk about the centrality of Christ. I want to talk to you about this. Valentine's Day is coming soon. And I realize that they have the cheesiest Valentine's card. I did a bit of research, so I thought I have a few of them. Guys, just a couple of ideas, all right? But since I already put it here, maybe you shouldn't use this. Maybe you can vote which one is the cheesiest. The first one. This may be cheesy, but I think you are great. All right? I know, right? What do you think? Good? No? All right. How about second one? You are my bestie. Actually, I was trying to figure this out. I think it means you're my best friend. Is that right? You're my bestie. Yeah, I was too focused on the bubble tea. I couldn't quite figure out. I was trying to think, what does that mean? You're my bestie. Yeah, like best friend. Yeah. I got that, Daniel. Like, yeah. But thanks. Thank you. How about the third one? Will you be my... Oh, that's... You like that? It's not bad, right? Yeah. How about the last one? Be the center of my universe. Oh, my goodness. Oh, so cheesy. I won't be giving any Valentine's card. It says, be the center of my life. In fact, there's another one. He says, you are the center of my universe and my world spins around you. When Christ is the center of our world, we spin around him. Can I get an amen for that? When we are a Christ-centered church, the church spins around God. There's a difference between a Christ-centered church and a me-centered church. A Christ-centered church is that it's all about Christ. It's about the exaltation of Christ. During our worship, it's about exaltation of Christ. It's not about how we feel. Sometimes, you know, we can worship itself. Dangerous. Worship is unto the Lord. Worship comes from what? Giving worth unto the Lord. When we worship, we exalt the name of Jesus. It's all about him. All glory, all power, all honor. The book of Revelations came into mind where the elders cast down their crown in the sign of honor and humility. They bow down and they worship God. There's a difference between a Christ-centered church and a me-centered church. There's a difference between a Christ-centered Christian and a me-centered Christian. A me-centered Christian would say, give me, bless me, nothing wrong. But if you look at the prayer of Jesus, oh, I love that. That's why order is important. Everyone say order. Order is important. In the prayer of Jesus, it goes something like this, hallowed, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Bless me, give me everything that I want. Is that the prayer of Jesus? No. What's the prayer of Jesus? Heavenly Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Woo! That's the Christ-centered prayer. It means, God, it's not about me first. It's about you first. What is your kingdom? When I pray for my family, I ask, oh God, what is your purpose? What is your kingdom? What is your value? What do you want? Not just me. That is being Christ-centered. And this is the beautiful part of the gospel. I have to tell you this. And this is, I love to use this, so it's called the paradoxical truth of God. The upside-down truth of God. As you center your life around God, as you spin around Jesus, all right, I'm getting old, I can't spin too much. This is a beautiful part. As you put Christ as the center, you are then, your life then becomes the center in God's will. A lot of us, the reason why we're afraid to put Christ as the center, do you know why?
if I were to push further, because it happens to me, and I still struggle with that, you know why? It's because I, deep down in me, I was thinking, maybe I don't really trust God. Maybe, perhaps, maybe. This the promises of God is for holy people like Pastor Randall, you know? Maybe applies to some, but not to me. Maybe God is only faithful to that few. Because if you were to push further, it's actually we are yet to know the grace and the faithfulness of God. We are yet to experience that. But when you experience that, my dear friends, when you put Christ as the center, there is no other way to live but to live for Christ and Christ alone. But to live for Christ and Christ alone. We talk about me-centered. We talk about people-centered. We talk about people-pleasing. You know? Be a Christ-pleasing Christian. Put God first in everything that you do. And when you honor God, God will honor you. You put God first, God will never, never shortchange you. You know, starting from today, we're going to launch our church prayer. We're going to do it on Sunday instead. We had our first one today. Man, no wonder the worship today was explosive. Dan and your team, amazing. We started praying around 9:15, the presence of God. We just felt the presence of God. We started praying for the church service. We prayed for Federation Uni. We pray for all the staff, pray for all the students. God is a God that answers prayer, you know. God is a God that answers prayer. So if you can make it, come and pray. It's going to be amazing. Thirdly, is that we are a spirit-filled church. I want to say spirit-filled. Spirit-filled. So we are a spirit-filled church. The Word of God says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be... Come on, let's read together. But be... To be filled with the Spirit. To be filled... What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Later on, stay back, we're going to have balloon sculpturing, you know? We're going to have balloon sculpturing. A balloon, when it's filled with air, it becomes very pretty and nice, isn't it? In fact, actually, I thought of a really, really good illustration when we talk about balloon sculpturing. You know, you guys want... Do you know what is a balloon sculpturing? Balloon sculpturing is basically you blow air into the balloon, like a long one, and it can make anything you want. It can be a love shape. It can be a puppy shape. It can be a sword. And then I was just thinking about it this morning. Do you know what? When you're filled by the Spirit of God, God can make you what He wants you to be. God, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, guess what? At times, you need the encouragement of God. God will make a heart for you. At times, when you're fighting a battle, you know what? God is going to give you a sword. But only when you are filled by the Spirit of God. Have you seen a heart inflated balloon before? You know what you're saying? Have you seen a totally deflated balloon? It's not very nice, isn't it? Now, this verse in Ephesians, it says be filled with the Holy Spirit. It says continuously being filled. So last week, we went to buy an air mattress, you know, because anyway, for travel purpose. So we got an air mattress for our family. Now, this is really advanced, all right, air mattress. So we bought this. It's got dual engine, dual pump. All right, so it will auto inflate. But how many of you know that when you auto inflate the air mattress, very often it loses air, and it feels like it's all, you know, not quite sure whether you're sleeping on whatever. And this technology is pretty awesome. It's that it will, as it deflates, it will auto pump. Wow. And that it will, the moment it kind of leaks air, it will auto pump. Do you know the Spirit of God? When we are filled by the Spirit of God, some of you are thinking, you know what, I'm so filled by the Spirit of God today, you know. Dan and the team, let's such a wonderful time. I'm filled by the Spirit of God. And this little dude, you know, Kenny, preached us an amazing message. I'm so pumped, you know. I'm all ready to conquer the world. And then maybe after tonight, just like the air mattress, you know, your husband starts to nag you a bit. You know, your wife did something that got you upset. Maybe your children. Just things in life, they kind of prick you and then a bit of air come out. We need to install the auto pump. Be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean? It means constantly coming to the Lord. constantly reading His Word, meditating upon His Word, which Pastor Randy will preach about it next week. We need to be constantly be filled by the Spirit of God. Be filled by the Spirit. When we are filled by the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit would take place in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And then there's this outer empowerment as well. There's Christian weakness. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. How many of us need the Spirit of God to fill us today? We need that. We need that. The fourth is that we are a word-grounded church. To make you memorize easier, the first three has to do with the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, in New Testament, whenever we use the word God, very often it's actually referring to God the Father. Anyway, God-loving church. Love God a little bit more every day. We want to be a Christ-centered church, and that our life spins around Jesus rather than the way around. We want to be a Spirit-filled church. The heart of God for you is that you are filled by Him so that you can be what God has destined you to be. And the fourth one is that we are a word-grounded. Everyone say word-grounded. We are a word-grounded church. A couple of years ago, I came across this article in CNN. So this is it's a suburb in Sydney, 90 kilometers north from Sydney. It says luxury homes in Australia are falling into ocean due to coastal erosion. And it reminds me of this story that Jesus tells, isn't it? The parable of the two builders. It's talking about where do we build our house. You see, the Word of God, and Jesus says this, right? If you love me, you will obey my command. In Matthew, it says, everyone then who hear these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. When you love Jesus, when you worship Jesus, you want to obey Him. You want to listen to Him. You want to follow Him. Where are you building your house today? Is it grounded on the Word of God? Or is it grounded in the latest philosophy in life? Where are you building your life? Are you just building your life upon careers? Or are you building your life upon the Word of God? In Joshua 1:8, it says, the book of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Now, when you meditate upon the Word of God and you do and obey all that is written in it, the blessing of God may come upon you. The blessing of God then come upon you. Last but not least, is that we are a disciple-making church. That we are a disciple-making church. We are already familiar with this verse. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are familiar with that. In fact, the fifth point, it's a result of the first four points. Order is important. We let Christ's final command be our first concern. And this is the truth. A lot of times we're just trying to make disciples without experiencing the love of the Father, without knowing the grace of Jesus in your life, without being empowered by the Spirit of God and walking in obedience in His command. Guess what kind of disciples we are making? You're only making disciples according to your own image. When we want to make disciples according to the image of God, because when you read that verse, when we continue to read that verse, it says that to teach them to observe everything that I've taught you. The Lord is calling His people, His church today, to rise up. as he revealed his heart to you. That we are to be that disciple-making church. The Lord will bless you and to empower you. And here's a question for you and I. Am I first a disciple of Christ? Remember, baby step. Today you might be thinking from 0 to 10 as a disciple of Christ. 10 as in like Jesus. You can follow every single thing. 0 as in your maybe 8 years. Perhaps most of us are like in our 4 or 5. I wonder today if you can take a baby step to obey Jesus more. I wonder today if you are not a disciple of Christ, whether you will say this prayer, say, Lord, will you disciple me? Will you point someone to me to have someone mentor me, coach me, and to guide me in my life? Perhaps some of you are also praying, and I want to encourage you to pray that. Is there someone I can disciple? You might be thinking, you know, only those that are really qualified should be a disciple. You know, when it comes to an apprenticeship, right? You don't need a 10 to coach the 0. You need a 3 to coach the 0. Just a couple of steps further. I wonder if you pray that prayer today. Lord, who I can disciple? Perhaps the Lord would drop a name to your heart. Perhaps, you know, Ian, you can pray for this person. Perhaps, you know, Ellie, you can call this person and reach out to that person. Our God is a God that answers prayer. Let Christ's final command be our first concern. I'm going to wrap this up, yeah, if I can have the worship team. And in this season, the Lord is calling our church to make 300 strong disciples of Christ. You know, right now, with our Mandarin and Chinese service, we are saying the same thing. And this is not about us building lots of people. The key word there is strong disciples. Those that are willing to go all in to follow Christ one step at a time. And in closing, I want to tell this this story. Now, as you know, in a couple of days ago, one of the most devastating earthquake happened in Turkey and Syria. Currently, more than 20,000 people have passed, and it's very sad. But then around, I think, 10, 20 years ago, there was actually a similar earthquake in Turkey, not as serious. There's this story about a father. The son was actually trapped in an earthquake. I was in a primary school. The whole school collapsed. Rubbles everywhere. The dad was so desperate, right? The dad then went to that site. Start calling the name of the son. Let's call the name. You call and call. There's no response. One day. Second day, he went back. Kept calling the name of the son. Kept calling the name of the son. The father never gives up. He says, call and call and call. Third day, he went back. He was sorting through the rubbles. He's not going to give up. And he kept calling the son's name. Son, son, where are you? Where are you, son? There were rescue workers there. And then suddenly they saw this tiny little hand poke up from the rubbles. From a little hand, from a little hole, it becomes a bigger hole. And the rescue worker, they were so excited. They were like, hey, there's someone here. Then they rescued a child. But then that's not the father's child. And shortly after, another hand came out from there. The second one rescued. It's still not the child. Then the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh. The whole situation, everyone was elated. They saw the kids were being saved. But the child is still yet to be found. Then the eighth hand rescue worker pulled him up. He was all covered in dirt. But the father immediately recognized that that's his son. Came to the son and he hugged him. And then he smacked him. He asked the son, "Why didn't you come out first? I'm so worried for you." You know what the son said? He said, "Dad, you taught me that when I'm in trouble, I just got to listen to the Father's voice. I just got to listen to your voice. The rest of the kids are in panic. So I thought I'll let them go first. But then, when your voice came, I knew I'm safe." You know, some of us today, perhaps we are like the kid. The Father is calling us. Today, as the Father bare his heart to us, the Father is saying to us, "Would you love me a little bit more today? Would you be filled by my love?" Perhaps the Father is saying to you today, "Would you center your life around me a bit more? Not perfect, a bit more. Would you have that humility today to say, 'Lord, this life that I have, I can't do it on my own, but I need you to fill me with the Holy Spirit.'" I wonder whether that's... Perhaps some of us here today, you have tried everything, but you're just going nowhere. You have used the wisdom of the world. You've seen the best counselor, you got the best advice, but you have never truly sought the advice from the Word of God. With all eyes closed, all heads bowed, now come a very significant and meaningful moment. The voice of the Father is calling, "My son, my daughter." If that is you today, you say, "Lord, I want to respond to you. I want to be filled by you. I want to follow you. No one's looking around. Don't worry." If that is you today, can I get you to raise your hand? "I love you more, God. I want to feel by you." Anyone? Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Let's respond to the Father. Anyone else? We don't want to let this opportunity go past. And say, "God, thank you. I see your hand too. Thank you. Thank you. I see your hand too." Perhaps today is actually your first time listening to the good news of Jesus. You say, "Lord, I've kind of lost, but today I'm found by you." And today you say, "God, I want to know you, I want to follow you." And you have never made that decision before. I wonder today if anyone wants to make that decision. Is there anyone here? Anyone? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we all stand? We're going to do this worship song. You know,
Jesus be the center of it all. Jesus be the center of it all. From beginning to the end, He will always be, has always been you, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life. Jesus be the center of my life.
This is our prayer.
From beginning to the end, He will always be, has always been you, Jesus.
Jesus, you are the center of it all. Jesus, you are the center of it all.
From beginning
to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus.
Jesus be the center of this church.
Jesus be the center of this church.
This is our prayer, God.
Jesus be the center of this church.
Every knee will bow,
and every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess you, Jesus.
Center of